of progress was. This is Bill Kennedy, and we have a special guest tonight. He's going to be talking to us about what people can do to increase their people skills. And without any further ado, here is our host and sponsor of this program. Here's Tom.
Hello, Bill. How are you, sir?
I am just greater than great. If I was any greater, I couldn't stand myself.
I hear you. Okay. And how are things up north?
Cold. But they're always cold up north.
I can believe that. And I am headed off to Minnesota this weekend and am told to expect snow. I mean, I thought I put away the coat.
If memory serves me correct, you were in Saskatchewan in February.
I've been enough up to the cold north. Hey, let's see. Let me tell people all the necessaries that we need to do about tonight's program.
Great.
Okay. Tonight's session is being recorded. It will be on the Profits Plus website in two formats, an MP3 for those who are using an iPod or a similar device, and as a click and listen link for the Profits Plus website if you just care to sit back, kick back, and enjoy listening to what we're going to talk about tonight. We will be monitoring during the course of the call tonight the email tomshea@profitsplus.org, and we'll be watching the Facebook account, which is also Tom Shea, during the call, so that any questions or comments you've got, we will be able to receive them and kick them in at the appropriate time. Let's see. What else do I need to say to people?
We need to talk about, if you have noise in the background, you have a mute button.
Yes. Yes, if you have noise going on in the background, star 6 will mute you. And at the appropriate time later in the show, a star 6 will unmute you so that if you have cats, dogs, business going on, whatever, you'll be keeping it to yourself, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll invite you to jump in if you'd like to have the opportunity to ask Shauna or any questions tonight or bust Bill's chops or my chops for anything else. This will be on the website, but it will be sometime tomorrow because our guru, our information geek, or as his wife calls him, the information stud, Bruce Giroux, is traveling tonight. Bruce's wife Sandy is somewhere in Virginia. There is a young lady that Sandy has taken in under her wings. Sounds like a situation of a young lady who's kind of pretty much so out on her own. Sandy has been mentoring her, perhaps even mothering her over the years, and the young lady is graduating from basic training. As I spoke to Bruce, he said, "We really don't expect any of her family, her biological family, to show up for her her commencement exercises, but Sandy has a special affection for this young lady, and she's going to drive up to be there." And Bruce says, "Well, I have to drive her," and he says, "I won't get home till the wee hours of Thursday night." So the recording will be on the website, knowing Bruce, who likes to sleep in late into the morning. It'll be sometime mid-morning tomorrow before this is available to everybody. But it will be there. All you have to do is look on the left side of the page for e-retailer, and you'll see a little tab there that tells you conversations. Click on it and sequence that all of them up there, including the one we had last month with Cam Marston, who was our guest when Bill and I talked about the intergenerational stuff.
Incredibly great conversation.
It was good. We had a great time talking to Cam. And we did find out that proverbial, because I'm the older person and I said so, apparently is not the best way of giving directions to someone who's younger than you.
No.
Okay. All right. So we learned lessons. And what do you think? We'll probably learn lessons tonight? Think we'll pick something up?
And I have not introduced our esteemed guest, so I left that up to you since this is your show.
Well, this young lady, and we do say young lady because we were in our pre-show conversations, we're naming some things, and you and I were the only ones that knew what we were talking about, and she didn't know any of it. Why don't you just dislike young people like that sometimes?
Yeah, you know, they got a lot to learn, but, you know, okay, give me a break.
Okay. So,
patience is a virtue.
Last year, 2012, I was had the opportunity to do a presentation at what's called Global Pet Expo. It's a very large pet show here in the eastern half of the United States, and this young lady walked in and sat down and was there for the whole session. And we got to visit for just a few minutes afterwards, and turns out that our guest, her name is Shauna Hsu, she has, as I do, a designation called a CSP, which is a Certified Speaking Professional. There's about, I guess, 8% of the professional speakers in the world who have managed, and you cannot be given this designation. You have to earn it with hundreds and hundreds of presentations before groups. She has been a business owner for 30 years? Yeah, since 1983. She is a registered vocational instructor with the state of Oregon. She is past regional director of the Fashion Group International of Portland. She's past president of National Speakers Association of Oregon. She founded a group called Women in the Pet Industry Network, and she is head of that organization. She also founded Pet Industry TV, and she also gives herself the designation of Chief Pet Wrangler. And when we were visiting in the pre-show, she was, let's see, we knew there was a dog there, and let's see, what other animals did she have, Bill, that we knew she had?
Oh, there were so many, I couldn't keep up.
I mean, it's a zoo. It is true. It's a zoo. I mean, all neat little animals that she's got there. She has a zoo. She has written a bunch of books. One of the books that got my attention was called 51 Ways to Pick Up Your Get Up and Go. Another one that I want to read this one because it's, to me, I think it's very important. How to Nail Voicemail. And another one that we'll be sure to ask her about tonight, How to Out-Finesse the Competition. She's got a series of booklets, videos, audios that deal on social graces. She is a magazine columnist, and she used to host a business radio talk show. And then last week, she was kind enough to invite me to be a guest on her program, which was on Thursday night a week ago, where she has a really awesome group of people who are a part of her network. So our guest tonight, because we're going to talk about business aspects, is Shauna Hsu. Shauna comes to us from Oregon. And to introduce her, we thought this would be appropriate. So, Shauna, are you with us?
I am. I'm just kind of doing a jiggy in my seat as that music came on. It felt good.
What kind of reminds you of the Blues Brothers, you know?
It is.
Here we go with other things that I'm like, I know the name Blues Brothers. I wasn't a huge fan. I was trying to be really quiet and be a good guest as you all were starting about age and all this stuff. So.
Oh, no. We turned this over. This is... Bill and I get to ask the questions, which we have a bunch that we would like to talk to you about. But now this is the opportunity to bring you in and let you get to share your expertise with a lot of people that Bill and I get to spend an hour with about once a month.
Love it. What can I help them with, help you with? I'm here to serve.
Well, you know, I'm thrilled with the concept, the idea of this skills, these people skills idea, and I think that the most important one is that so that people would listen to us for the entire hour and all the neat stuff that I know that you're able to talk to us about is. So for our people out there who listen, they are people who provide services. You know, they could be from your industry, people who are pet sitters, could be pet groomers. They could be people who are in the landscape business. They can be people who provide service of repairing your automobiles. we have a lot of people who sell products. We're everything from firearms to carpets to stereo systems to pharmacists, and the list goes on and on. It's a very, it's a unique bunch of people because they are independents. It's a great bunch of people because they provide such a wide arrangement of products and service. But why in the world should any of us who are small business owners really be concerned with people skills? I mean, after all, it's my business. Can't I just do what I want to do?
Well, yes, absolutely you can. And I think having, being an entrepreneur myself, it's that's why we got into it. Maybe because, and maybe, now this isn't for everybody, but maybe you can't get along with anyone and that's why you have a business. No. I think the most important thing is no matter what you're doing, whether you're selling products, whether you're a landscaper or any of it, how you treat people, how you are with people, little subtle things that you need to know, make or break your interactions. And here's what I always find. People offend other people, and if you've, Tom, I can ask you, Bill, I can ask you, has anybody ever said something to you that was offensive? And when they said it, you realized in a split second that they didn't even know that what they said was offensive. They didn't know they didn't know.
You mean like maybe
so
in the last 10 minutes?
So my job has been to help. Yeah?
I say, you mean like anywhere in the last 10 minutes or like in my life as a whole?
Well, we don't want to go that far back. Kaboom! So when we do things and we don't even know we've offended them, my goal is to help especially business people, leaders, entrepreneurs, to have this, I don't know how to explain it, the secret ingredient where they learn some things that hopefully we'll share tonight, they're going to help them and really make a difference in their interactions. And they're suddenly going to be able to say, ah, I get that. I know this that I didn't know before. So
right.
I call it advanced people skills.
Right. Well, you know, the song that Tom played was Respect. And maybe we kind of need to start there. And what you're really talking about us is are not huge life-changing, monumental things. There are little nuances and things that people need to keep in mind and just think about why they're doing what they're doing and the way they're doing it. Is that correct?
It is in one way. Sometimes when I first started this, I think I felt that same way, that these were little nuances. If I know how to do this, or if I get better at networking, or if I understand how to do what I would consider etiquette-type things, introductions, my respect, how to shake a hand. It's huge. It's important. All these little things. But what I've discovered and uncovered is that a lot of business leaders and a lot of owners, and they all think they know all this. They think that they show great respect. They and so the problem is everybody also thinks they drive well. And we know it's not true. So I think it could be not just little things that we all should know, like, oh, isn't that nice? This is profound, life-changing stuff where if you learn how to do things in a little different way, the results that you get are just over-the-top amazing. I do executive coaching, and I was talking to a businesswoman today, and she's putting into practice some of these small, we could call them little things, and it has just completely revolutionized how people are reacting to her. Suddenly, work is coming so much more freer. People are so much more willing to say yes to her because she understands the mindset and how advanced people skills work. And it really is about strategy. What is it you want and how to think? It really isn't just about technique.
Okay. Well, what are some examples, Shauna?
Well, we talk about a variety of things. Like if you come at, number one, let's take a mindset. I'm going to a networking event, and the mindset of most of business people that I know has always been, I need to meet people, I need to get more business, I want to tell people about my business. So their entire mindset is one of business and more business.
So this would be something like a small business owner who joined the local chamber of commerce and is going to one of the Friday afternoon chamber mixers that they're hosting.
Absolutely. Perfect, Tom. That's exactly right. Their local chamber, their rotary, you know, and they're making friends and they intend to be there. But really and truly, their only strategy or their only intent is that they want to show up, tell people about their business, and the bottom line is they want more business. They want their bottom line to increase. and the investment that they made. They're going to track it. Because if I had to spend however much, $375 a year for this membership, I better get at least $375 worth of return investment.
And there ought to be something more than, like I'm thinking in an event that I went to and a CPA that I met. And the only thing I can remember about the CPA, other than his name, I guess, which is the good part, is that when I shook hands with the guy, it was like holding a wet dish rag. I have never had anyone shake a hand that was so wimpy.
like a limp fish?
Oh, I mean, that's it. I know who the guy is. I know him when I see him. But I bet you're going to tell me that's probably not the way I want to remember him, because he had what has to be qualified as the worst handshake I've ever experienced.
Well, and you make my point about a handshake really well. Although a handshake, I feel like if people have been in business for a while, I actually think, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe my mindset's wrong. I always think that anybody who's been in business for any length of time understands the power of a handshake. But if they don't, and obviously this man didn't, so we'll discuss it. But now you remember that, his name and bad handshake. And your impression will not change. Think about that for just a minute, Tom, how our first impressions matter. And so now let's go back and say, what is your intent when you go to the chamber meeting? What is your intent when you go to the Rotary meeting? What is your intent when you go to a networking event of any kind? And I would say that most of the listeners couldn't tell me what their intent was, except, well, to become known, to let people know about my business, to get more business, which is really the wrong intent completely.
You know, okay, you would like to have them remember you in a positive standpoint as to this is what they need, or whatever, something about it, what, the way you dressed, the way you spoke, the way that you complimented me, something to that effect?
Yes, praise, all of that. But, and here's basically the philosophy behind it that goes with everything, whether it be the handshake or whether it be a name tag or whether it be whether or not you dress up. And when we speak about people who are in landscaping or who are in the automotive industry or whatever they might do, and they go, look, at this is what we wear. My husband is a horseshoer and has been for 40 years. And people will say, because of whatever they do for a living, they'll go, well, this is who I am. Same thing with I'm there to get business. And the minute we do that, we have no people skills because we're so consumed with ourselves. Now, this sounds harsh, I know, but it's so totally true. My husband is a prime example because he's a working man. You know, he gets manure on him, he's in barns all the time. And I've never heard, he has had the same customers. He's been shoeing horses for 40 years. He has had some of the same customers for almost all those 40 years. They don't change, they change horses. They don't change their horseshoer for one good reason. He doesn't ever think, how do I get more business? He thinks, how do I make them feel comfortable around me? So let's look at that philosophy here just a minute. If I dress as a landscaper in my jeans and my work shirt, even if I have my name on it, or if I say, hey, look, I'm more of a casual guy or gal, and this is what I'm wearing, my khakis and my whatever, you're all about you. You're not about your customer. So Okay. Let's talk about appearance for just one moment. My husband will change his shirt between appointments. Now, I'm going to tell you, the horses don't care.
Right, but here's that's believable.
The real truth is, the horses don't pay him either. It's the horses' owners that he wants to respect, so he doesn't come across smelly and miserable, and he changes his shirt 3 times during the day, during the summer, so that when he talks with them, who write him the paycheck, they feel valued. They feel like he didn't have to do that, but he does it anyway.
All right. Well, I want to get back to something you said that we kind of first somehow got away from. When you said when you go to a chamber, like Tom, you said a mixer, or you go to a networking meeting or whatever the case may be, You know, and Tommy, you're talking about a handshake, which is a tactic, just like changing a shirt, I think, in my opinion, it's a tactic. But I'm really interested in what, the strategy of why you go. Because somebody does go there to get more business. But what should be the enhanced strategy Shauna?
Excellent question, Bill. And I guess that's the whole point. The tactics support the strategy. In
correct.
Other words, if I go through and I say, I'm going to this networking event, not to see how many cards that I can give away or collect, but to see how I can learn or figure out a need I have not uncovered yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So many times you go and people go, let me hand you my card, or they immediately hand you the card. I didn't want the card. I didn't care about the card. Usually I throw away the card. But if they were to ask me an engaging question, based on their strategy of learning whether or not I even have a need, their strategy okay. of, I am here to be a servant.
All right.
Their whole entire mindset of, I am going to actually be, most of us come and join something because of what it's going to give us. But if we were to say, what could I give it? That's your first philosophy for it. What could I give right now? How do I show up?
So it's not about you, it's about them.
Agreed. And that's not new thinking, but it's new thinking for a lot of business people.
Right.
Because they don't think that. Everything is to value your own business. And yes, you belong to the Rotary or the Chamber or any of these because you want to increase your business. But
right.
if that's how you come across, you have the wrong energy. You have the wrong philosophy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask this one. I'm thinking about the one I went to yesterday. Sat next to a gentleman, we were discussing things, and he asked for my business card. I never met the guy, wouldn't know that I'd have any use for his products or services, but he asked for my card. Now, in asking for my card, he handed me his. Was that the proper way to do it?
Well, proper is an interesting word. What was the... Did you feel, let's just ask you, did you feel valued in that?
That he asked for it?
Yeah.
I didn't have enough of a conversation with him to know if it was someone that I really wanted them to know where to find me.
Bingo. And that's because his strategy was to collect and give as many cards as he could. It was all about him. And that's the challenge with all of this. If we looked and said, I don't need to get 100 cards from an event. If I got 3 that I could help, there's a real good chance that one of those will turn into work for me.
Okay. All righty. Well, before we go on to another question, let me tell everybody, those who joined us in late, joining Bill Kendi and I tonight on the e-retailer conversation is Shauna Hsu, who is joining us from out on the West Coast. You can find Shauna at Shauna Hsu, and of course we need to spell all of that, S-H-A-W-N-A-S-C-H-U-H, ShaunaHsu.com. And a secondary website, this is much easier, womeninthepetindustry.com. Shauna comes to us having been someone that we met by way of the pet industry. She has been a columnist, a book author, and speaking of book author, Shauna, I'm curious about the book you wrote entitled 51 Ways to Pick Up Your Get Up and Go.
You're curious?
I am curious. Well, I mean, the title grabs my attention right off the bat.
Well, there's 51 ways, which we won't go over completely here, but all of them help you with tactics and techniques to say, okay, I want to increase my motivation. What kind of things can I do? And a lot of it we're going to discuss right now. And they're all stories. A lot of them incorporate animals. So that's what that book's about.
Okay. Any particular one or two from the book that you think most memorable that would be the ones you dangle in front of us to get us to want to grab a copy of the book and read it?
Well, if you love stories, it's a great way to learn throughout stories. And instead of actually telling a story, I kind of like to go back. I've got so many, and you threw me a bit, because the stories are, they're not long, but they're a little bit longer than I think we could spend right here before we turn off your brain. So let's go back to a story that is in relationship to what you just mentioned. I was at an event that I was speaking at, and I happened to be sitting in the row behind two men that were talking. And it was almost, Tom, as if it was what happened to you. a man sat down and he said, "Oh, how are you?" And the other man said, "Fine." And he goes, "Oh, I'm so-and-so," and shook his hand and shook his hand. They really didn't know each other at all. And the man on the right said, "Could I have your business card?" I mean, just like what happened to you. And the gentleman in front of me, I've never seen this before. He said, "Why would you want that?"
Good question.
It just threw the guy, because most people just say, "Sure, you know, we're at a networking event. It's normal. Let's give you the business card." But he said, "Why would you want it?" And he goes, well, I would like to follow up with you." And he goes, "Well, I don't know anything about you, and you have no idea what my needs are."
Whoa.
And I have never had anything like that happen in front of me. And I was actually, I started leaning forward. I was like, "Boy, this is a great, I could use this." And I thought this guy really had it together in that I didn't think he was as gracious as he could be saying it, but I did understand the concept of, I'm not playing the game, and I don't want to be on your email.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
valid
point.
That was his, because people will say, "Can I have your business card?" And people are so, you know, etiquette-ish, and they hand the business card over. But none of us want to be on emails, but none of us want follow-up from somebody we don't want. So that's the story of saying, this is one way that you could. You could just say, "Tell me why you need it." I mean, he could have been much more gentle. Or, "Before I give you my business card, would you explain to me what you do?"
Okay, well, good said.
You know, "Before I give my business card," because, and the next thing is, thrusting your business card into somebody's hands when they've never asked for it is just wasting your business card. So the strategy is, who do you want to meet? The strategy is, and by the way, there's some great books on this, one which is called Never Eat Alone, and I can't remember the author right now, forgive me, but it's easy to find on Google. But I have been mentored and coached by people like Anita Quibain and different people who are master networkers. And when they really think about it, if you're going to go to a networking event and you just go, "Oh, I hope something good happens tonight," you're not thinking strategy, to answer Bill's point. But if you were to say, I'm going to strategize, what I would love to do is find one person, or maybe two to three. I always think three is a pretty good one, because from those three, if they're the right people, one may turn into somebody really important to you. And you really define it.
Well, you know, I'm a very passionate salesperson. And what you're really talking about is taking the time to define objectives for every sales call, and then making sure that you qualify the prospects before you try to make a sales presentation. And when I say presentation, I don't mean a full-blown presentation. It could be a presentation on an introduction. Am I following what you're saying, Shauna?
Well, yes, you are in one point. But let's take, for instance, if they're business owners, which is really what we have here, and maybe they're not going to think about the objective that they're going to, their presentation, their elevator speech, which we've talked about before. I'll give you this other piece. There's another kind of story. There was a group here in Oregon, and I met a couple of women, and they said, "Oh, my God, you must join this women's group." And I really thought about it, and I thought, because how many groups do we need to belong to, right? And I said, these two women I met, I adored. I liked their energy. I liked the way they thought. They made me laugh. We had a nice time. And I thought, based on these women, I'm gonna leave. Okay, what's my strategy? What do I want? It wasn't about qualifying. It wasn't about sales. I absolutely said, this is going to be how I incorporate my social, my network within my community. I will give first. I will be totally engaged, and this will be my social time. With that intent, completely in mind, everyone I talk to, I ask questions of, tell me about your business. Tell me what you do. I found many, many women who were just thrilled that someone asked them instead of throwing up all over them about what they did. I just basically kept asking questions. Never expected any work at all, but to make some friendships. And I've got three pieces of business out of it, and two that will probably turn into business.
Well, basically, you're talking about charm.
I am. But more importantly, it can't be charm that is a tactic. It has to be, I came with a different intent. I came to learn, gather information, and give. And everything falls down to help you when you do it that way. I think there's a quote that says, anything will give up its secrets if you love it enough.
Oh, interesting one. I have not heard that one before. Anything will give up its secrets if you love it enough.
Love it enough.
Very good. So we come to the, end of our first half this evening. Shauna Hsu has been kind to join us this evening. Our topic is people skills, and we are talking about multiple aspects. We've talked about the usage of business cards. We have talked a little bit about interacting verbally with people at social events, business events, chamber mixers, and things of that nature. In the second half of the show, where I would like to see us talk about are several items. Like to talk about, because so many of our people get a big chunk of their business off of the telephone, about phone usage. And then we had a bit of discussion. I know that we've had this discussion at a number of trade shows in the past about the idea of people wearing name tags, and particularly how business owners will have their staff wear a name tag, but they as the owner won't, because they think that everybody knows who they are. Is that kind of on track, Shauna?
Absolutely.
Okay,
so we're going to wait and talk about that when we come back?
Well, which one? We're not going to attempt. We normally at the bottom of the hour throw in a little like commercial break. The challenge is that we were testing new equipment today to enhance the sound system a little better, and Tom will take all of the credit/responsibility. And that the piece that I ordered, Tom didn't quite read the directions correctly.
Oops.
Oops. Well, I called the guy and I said, hey, how about, this isn't, I can hear the music, no one else hears it. And he goes, yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be. And I go, that's not what I thought I bought. And so we have a return goods authorization that we'll be mailing out tomorrow, and we will have it in time for the April call. It'll be there. Oh, by the way, do you want to ask me who the April guest is?
Tom, who's the April guest?
Great question. See, Billy, you're going to have to jump in quick here. She's on top of it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, she might get my job. I don't know.
Our guest for April is Jerry Obarski. Is that registered all with you, Bill? Obarski?
It does. I know Miss Obarski.
Well, we know Mrs. Obarski. This will be
right.
Boy, I struggle with that name tonight. This is our first time that we will have had a husband/wife combination, because Ann was with us somewhere
right.
in last year. Her husband,
right.
Jerry. Jerry has a world of experience in that Jerry's specialty in life was loss prevention. So part of our discussion is going to be from the retailer standpoint with controlling inventory as to how are you watching for theft internally and external theft.
Uh-huh.
We're also going to talk about it from those who listen to us who are service providers, with the idea of equipment, whether it be tools, whether it be vehicles, whether it be staff, monitoring that to keep on top of it. And then we're going to, if we can have enough time, we're going to add a bit of a discussion where we will talk about theft from a financial, whether it be someone who's simply picking money out of the till, to the need for certain reports in a business, or also for the need of a, in the circle of how paperwork and money, in essence, is a loop, how
right.
you need to put
right.
certain cuts in the loop so that one person isn't taking care of all kinds of aspects. They could basically hide their own
right.
illegal activities. So Jerry is going to join us, and for April, we are going to be here on the 18th. April 18th, so that we will have given everybody 3 days to have gotten over the paying their personal taxes, if they're here in the States, and it'll be nice springtime. So that's our guess for that. But tonight, let's go back to Shauna. Shauna, let's go down the avenue of the telephone, because you know, there's a lot of people who are part of our program where they get a lot of their business by way of someone initiating their search for products or service based upon a telephone call. So give us some guidance on this one.
Well, once again, what's so interesting is I always start with everything with the intent. What's my intent? So people will pick up the phone and they'll go, oh, we've reached, you know, Bob's painting or whatever it might be. And we'll talk about voicemail messages that we leave on those phones as well. But in my mind, the first thing that always starts with is, why do you pick up the phone at all? Most people are anxious. The phone, there's still something about a ringing phone that makes people think it's urgent when it really isn't urgent. It's just ringing. So it would be better if you didn't answer it if you had a great voicemail. So let me just throw that out. People will say, well, wait, if I don't take the phone call, then they'll think I'm not there. But if you're with somebody else and you take that phone call, you're going to lose the one who's in front of you. So number one, what's your intent when you pick it up? And here's my biggest tip for me. I always go, when the phone rings, ring, ring, I always think, ka-ching, ka-ching. And I'm scrambling. I can't wait to answer that phone. It means somebody wants to pay me. So I have a great attitude on the phone. I'm like, hi, it's Shauna. How can I help you? Because I'm just positive that they want to give me money.
Oh, absolutely. I'm paying, as a business owner, I am paying a lot of money for phone lines. I mean, I don't know how it is in your area, but where we are, while a resident might pay $40-some-odd a month for a landline, I'm not at all surprised that a business is paying $125 a month for having the same landline. I guess just because somehow or another the phone system believes that they're going to be on the phone a whole lot more or something to that effect. But yeah, that's a lot of money to be paying out.
And I want to jump in here because I have a very succinct question to ask you, Shauna. One of my pet peeves, I do a lot of business on the phone, and I'm a phone guy. But what really gripes me is when somebody, you call a business and they answer the phone and they'll go, Bills. And you think to yourself, Bills what?
Right.
Bills Bing Taco, Bills Bar, Bills Party Store, Bills Laundry Cleaner, Bills whatever. How do you get people to answer the phone and say something like, it's a great day at Bill's Sporting Goods Shop? This is Bill. What can
now,
I do for you today? How do you get that mindset for owners?
Well, there's two things. And I just finished working with a small business in California, and they were asking all of their people, phone. They're temporary services, and everybody had to say, it's a great day at, and interestingly enough, when I actually talked to all the people who were calling, and the business owner had brought me in, and I said, let's just discuss how does it go. And interestingly enough, Bill, the women hated. They hated saying it's a great day.
Why
because
is that?
Callers argued with him. Well, it's not that great of a day here. Your people didn't arrive, or I've got a problem with you.
How many callers really argued with them?
Quite a few. And they didn't feel good about saying it. So one of the things that I would say is, once again, what's your intent? So if you're going to answer the phone, what is important to the caller? And the caller wants to know who they reached, so you're right. They should say Bill's Auto Body, or you've reached the office of Shauna Hsu, who is? Or I usually will say I reached the office of Shauna Hsu versus, hi, you've reached Shauna. They don't know who I am. You wanted Shauna Hsu. And the office of, this is a business. But if they were to say, hi, you've reached, then you're like, oh, the caller knows who I got. Then you might say, may I ask who's calling, please?
Interesting.
And one of the reasons that you ask who's calling, please, is because if they say, well, this is Jerry and I'm looking for so-and-so, they have an opportunity to shuffle their mind to say, oh, hi, Jerry. And next thing you know, we've already broken down a barrier.
Interesting.
All right, so let me ask this question then. I think about the businesses who participate in our call, and I have high hopes that none of them do this. But I know I experience it in a lot of places that I call, and that is, for some reason, the staff at a business has this monologue that
right.
they feel the need, the requirement to blabber to me, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, all this type of stuff. And it's like, could we just get to the hello and, you know, whatever it is that you need to say, which is a thanks for calling or tell me who you're looking for, whatever it may be. What,
yes.
Is there a time, is a number, like a number of seconds that you would say, hey, here's kind of the time frame that you ought to look at?
Yes. Let's face it. You put in something in the microwave, you push the express 1 minute, and you're standing in front of the microwave going, hurry up! I mean, 1 minute is too long. If you were to say, hi, you've reached Bill's Auto Body, tell them who you are, be up and happy, and say...
The conference is in lecture mode.
Who okay. am I calling? So here's the rundown. Hi, be happy and up. Tell them who they've reached, and then say, who is calling, please, or how do I help you today? Bang. But you're right. I got to tell you something. Voicemails are doing this, too. Hi, you've reached so-and-so. Our hours are, if you need directions, if you know the first three digits, and you're so irritated by the time you actually have to do something, or you have, and then if you get it wrong, you have to go back and call them again. I mean, I just want to hurt those people. Is that okay to say on?
Sure it is.
Shona, I have a question to ask you. You know, I think that a lot of people, and I'm really curious about your opinion on this. Unless you're calling to order a product direct and just trying to give them information, in which case a sale has already been made and the person answering is an order taker. But, you know, I think a lot of small business people think that a phone, especially, I'm not talking about outbound calls, but inbound calls, I think they think it's a sales thing, but then they forget that the whole function of the phone is to give people. You agree with that, or am I wrong?
To get people to do what?
To come to your store or to get information.
It's not necessarily
a selling tool.
Oh, Bill, you nailed it on the head. And the reason you nailed it on the head is because your intent is the people who call you, do you think they truly want every bit of information that you could put on their voicemail or spewed out to them? No, they're busy. They could have the wrong number. I mean, if you were to say, hi, you've reached the office of Shauna Shue, I'm so glad you called. What can I do for you? They're going to go, wow, I'm so glad I called too.
Right. And I'm saying, like, the people that call to buy a book or one of your, you know, videos or CDs or something, that's different than a person that's calling up just to, you know, salespeople aren't going to sell somebody on a phone. That's going to be a much longer sort of scenario, right?
Usually. But more importantly, it's the impression and what
right.
they don't realize, what we all don't realize. My voicemail message and me, Shauna Shue, when you get my voicemail, it sounds exactly like this. And when you get me, it sounds exactly like this. And when I work with you, it's exactly like this. You're guaranteed something. I'm congruent that I am high energy and fast thinking and totally focused on you. What happens is somebody will say, hey, it's a great day, da da da, and then they'll go, how do I help you? Or they're irritated by saying it. And that's why I always say, be careful with your scripts. But the phone is a first impression. And you're right, Bill. All it is to make somebody feel good that they called and then take them to the next place. Move them into wherever they want to go, serve them on the phone, take them to a salesperson, call them back when you have the information. But it's certainly not a sales tool in that instance.
Well, and that segues into another question I would like to ask Tom, if it's okay. And to make them feel good, because we were talking before our seminar here, if you will, about how bosses can make employees feel good. And you have some really great opinions about that, Shauna. Would you share them?
Well, I mean, there's so many. It's sort of like 51 ways.
Well,
to leave your lover and make employees feel good, both.
Well, when you thank an employee for doing a good job, what's the right way to do it? And what's the right mindset to have when you do it?
Absolutely. So let's take once again, and this is going to sound like a broken record, and I'm glad it is, because every time I work with small business people, and I work with tons of them as an executive coach, and here's what happens. They want to know the tactic, and I always want to go back and say, what's the strategy? So they'll say, how do I thank an employer? How do I tell an employee they're doing well? And the first thing they want to do is say, thank you so much for the job you're doing for our business. Thank you so much for serving that client really well. And in a way, that is a weak praise, because the employee, if they're any good, didn't do it to get your thanks, and they didn't do it for you. That's who they are. So I usually tell executives, leaders, business owners, get rid of the thank you. You can say thank you for things that they did for you, but don't thank them for doing great customer service. They do that because of who they are. So instead of thanking them, truly praise them. And that's where you take the thank you away and you put in you. You are. You did. You can. You rocked. So let's take this scenario. They just did a great job with a customer. You saw it. Many business owners go up and go, thank you so much for how well you did. Or I really appreciate how well you take care of our customers. Well, you're just arrogant. Forgive me, but that's really not a great way to compliment somebody. They didn't do it for you. So let's stop, go back, say, what do I want? What's my strategy? I want my employees to know that they are empowered to do this, and it's about them, who they are. So I don't say thank you. I walk right up to that employee, and I say, you nailed it. You were wonderful. You made that customer feel amazing. Bravo. Now, see the energy of that? The employee starts to puff up. They're like, I did that, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we as business owners say, I'm so happy. Thank you for working late. You know, like they did it for you. You know, we said it to our children. Thank you for cleaning your room. Well, hello, it's required.
And that's why I like you being on here, Sean, because it's, you know, when I hear that, it's like, that's such a neat point. And I don't know that I'd ever thought of it that way. You don't say thank you for that aspect, but I hear you saying it's recognition. I recognize what you have done.
Yes, because it's required that they say thank you on the phone or whatever it is. So don't say thank you for doing what's required. Praise totally for them when they do something really right. And guess what happens? You get more of it, you get more of it, you get more of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, can we handle it from the other side of the coin where it's got to be a criticism, a reprimand, or whatever is in that, whatever wordage that we want to use there?
That was exactly what I was going to ask, Tom.
Thank you.
We think alike, don't we?
People look at you, too.
Scary.
I'm
much better looking at you, though.
So let's take...
that's relevant. Thank you.
Let's take a criticism, for instance. And I always look at it this way, because usually when you are given praise, you're startled and you're like, you did great with that customer. You know, you're like, I did? Wow. You know, we don't even know how to take it. It's so rare. On the other hand, the minute you say, that interaction you just had was awful, or is that the way you want to treat people? Talking about children or employees, or do you think that was the right way to answer the phone? When you say something like that, there is nowhere for your employee to go. Zero. They're going to justify. They're going to go, well, that's what I was taught.
Yeah.
So
you put them automatically in defense mode, right?
Exactly. And by the way, this is with your everyone. When you let's say you get, the husband doesn't pick up the milk or the wife doesn't pick up something, and you go, Did you not remember the milk? What are they going to say to you? They're defensive right off the bat. They're going to make an excuse and say, you know what, you didn't write it down for me. And now we're in a fight. So when we're talking about criticism, especially with employees, first of all, do we need to criticize? And then let's go back, broken record Shauna. What's my intent, my strategy here? Well, my strategy is to have amazingly empowered, fabulous people. So do I want to criticize them or do I want to help them?
Mm-hmm.
So usually I will say, not, would you like some constructive criticism, or should we go over how to do that? I'll usually say, would you care for some help?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the minute I ask that, what do they know immediately?
Well, that you're not trying to cut them a new rear, and you're actually, it seems to me that by saying that, you're getting them to buy into your side of the coin.
And I'm also saying, I want to help you.
Right.
So I'll say, should we discuss even better ways that that could happen? Because I'm asking for permission. And most employers don't ask for permission.
Sure.
They tell. But the minute I stop and pull back and say, do I want to be right here or do I want a right relationship? It's a good question.
Good point.
Do I want a long-term employee or do I want to just, I mean, we have to ask. You know, when I got married and decided I wanted to stay married, and then I decided to really be crazy and I wanted to stay married happily. And I went, oh, my God, that's going to be more work. So I
said, you want a lot.
I want a lot. So I went, every time I approach my husband, then I have to remember that it's not about being right. It's about the right relationship. When I approach my husband, it's not about making him feel bad. It's about how do we get along better. And it took me a long time to figure out how to do some of this, which is why I continued to study. But there's where it goes back to the philosophy, where you just ask this different question. You go up to the person and say, how would you care for some help? Now, they might say yes if they're smart. If they're not smart, you got to think, did I hire right? But if it's a different conversation. But if they say yes, which of course they will, they could go, well, let's talk about how we greet and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go, what are you thinking about? And
so
you'll probably
exactly,
find
yeah,
out that they're not thinking about anything.
One of your earlier promises about owners, managers have to stop thinking about the me and start thinking about the you.
Absolutely.
So,
it takes
I hear
longer.
What she says. It just takes the fight out of it. I mean, I hear what you say, Sean. I go, you know, that's not fair. It's like you're not fighting fair because you won't fight. I mean, you're solving the problem.
Right.
Okay, that's
true. I'm absolutely not fighting fair. I'm fighting to win, and I will win through kindness, courtesy, advanced people skills because I'm thinking in an advanced way. That's the way I want to work. And by the way, the people who you're working with love you for this. They adore you for this. They go, they always make me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, that was my goal. If you feel good, my customers will feel good.
Mm-hmm. Well, but there does come a point in time in every sort of employment scenario when you've got to put the hammer down. Now, what, in your expert opinion, what's the best way when you've got to be a mean person? You know, what's the best way to do it?
Well, and listen to the words that we're using, Bill, because there is never in my life a time to put the hammer down or whatever we call that. It's like I've got my master's certificates in neurolinguistic programming. It's all about language. So if I were to look at it, and I had this one employee I had did not want to, he didn't get done what he was supposed to get done.
Mm-hmm.
And I was asking him for things, and I was being really nice, and it was not working out. So finally, I sat him across from me, and I said, you know what's occurred to me? And I asked him to bring some stuff in that I needed. You know, I mean, the writing was on the wall. And I said, it occurred to me that I've been cheating you. And he was so startled. And I said, because it's apparent that you don't want to be doing this for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And based by action, the results are, if you wanted to do this, if you wanted to continue to work here, you would have done this, this, and this. And I just think we should stop cheating each other. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
They just took this sigh of relief, and he goes, you know, I didn't think this is what it was going to be like. And I go, I get that clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Here's your final check. I mean, it wasn't a hammer down. It was a... It's apparent based on results. And there was a wonderful quote by a man named Hillite who said, results, often harsh, always fair.
Mm-hmm.
The results are, I really don't think you want to work here. based on this, this, and this.
Well, there's inspect and expect.
Yep.
Or expect and inspect, I should say. And that brings me to another question. You know, do you believe that? How do you get it? How do you go about getting employee buy-in?
Well, and there's multiple ways. And here's the thing that I think to be careful of continuously is that all buy-in comes from employees in the same way. And as a leader of a business, we have to think better, have more strategy, have a heart and a philosophy. We have to have some life rules or business rules that we believe how we treat people. And then engagement happens in different ways. It's sort of like everything is feedback. So if you say something and you get a reaction, then I get to shift how I've said it. Well, that didn't work. It's the same with animals. You know, if you quickly correct and they go, oh, I get it. And so you're like, I don't have to be mean, but I have to be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there isn't just one way to engage employees is the answer. But if you're smart, and I'm assuming that if you have a business and it's successful, you're smart, then you just have to go about making yourself better. And that's kind of my whole thing. If the leaders, I deal with leaders, owners and leaders. Why? Because when they alter their behavior, they get their advanced people skills, they're thinking differently, the results they get are profound.
Well, they set the tone for the whole organization.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So with about 2 minutes left, Shauna, the one area that I had on my list that I really wanted to talk about, and I'll just hand you the last couple minutes to run with it, name tags.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so
let's hit the name tags before we go home for the night.
Okay, so the philosophy that we've talked about all the way along, it's not about me, it's about them. Here's the deal. I believe that when a person wears a name tag, they're screaming, I'm open for business. Because if you've ever met someone, and I know maybe you guys have felt this way, I've met someone, I had a conversation with them, I know what kind of dog they've got. I see them out of context at the grocery store someplace, and because I can't remember the name, I go and hide from them. I run over to another aisle. I'm trying to think in my phone who they are. So if you want people to actually talk to you, do business with you, have the opportunity, you would wear a name tag all the time. You could wear it to the grocery store, all of it. And I shared with you guys about the one realtor who wore his name tag home because he was meeting the cable person. And he normally always took, every time he got in the car, he took off his name tag. But he wore it home. And the cable guy said, I didn't know you were a realtor. And he goes, oh, yeah, because he left his name tag on, open for business, screaming, billboard on your chest. And he ended up getting several $1 million worth of work from this man's family because he had his name tag on.
So where do you wear the name tag?
Which what?
Where do you wear the name tag?
Where?
On your body.
Here's the other thing. How do I make it easy for people to do business with me? I'm going to wear it on the same side as my shaking hand. So I'm going to wear it on the right side because people will grab my hand, glance up my arm to my name tag, and look at my face. So it's a grab, glance, grin. That's what I always say. If we put it on our left side, which, by the way, many people are making a mistake because they get the embroidery on their shirt on the left side.
Over a pocket.
You make people, over their pocket. I believe that you should put your logo there, but the name tag should always be on the shake hand, on the right side.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and big enough for people to read. You can put your logo on the left and your name on the right because grab, glance, and grin. Because if they have to grab your hand and rake their eyes across your chest, I would ask you what you're selling. really, I don't want people to rake their eyes across my chest. I want them to grab my hand, look at my name tag, and it's got to be big enough for people to read. Your business name is not as important as your name.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. I hope I'm right under the time for you, Tom.
That was great. That was great. So great. Let me
Wonderful.
Tell everybody as we close up for the shop for the night, our guest tonight, which we have been thrilled to have her come and be a part of the program, is Shauna Hsu. To find her online, Shauna Hsuh, shaunahsuh.com. Shauna is from Oregon. great person to talk to. I've spoken to her several times. World of information. Let me invite you to go look at her website. A series of products and services, a lot of neat stuff out there that I thought were very affordable prices for booklets and CDs, easy to read type material that can help you in your business. Things that, as I've listened to, and I thought, boy, there's just a lot of these little points that any business who listens to our program could take, plug into their business, and it's the little details. Yeah, you get some real quick results, and it's stuff that people, I'm not sure that a person's going to know what it was that you've changed. I just think they'll notice that you've changed something in your business, and they go, this is different, and I like this business. I can't tell you why, but I like because they're doing something different that nobody else has done, and it's because you've taken the time to do one of these little details that Shauna has talked about tonight.
Well, you know, there's an old saying, and Shauna, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us too, and there's this old saying that says, nickels and dimes all make dollars. And sometimes it's not necessarily nickels and dimes stuff, but it's just paradigm shifts.
Yep.
It's why I'm doing what I'm doing, and you've been a wonderful, wonderful guest, and thank you.
Thanks.
No, well, thank you. I enjoyed being on with you guys. You're doing good for your people, and thanks.
Well, it was great. We enjoyed it. So, Mr. Bill, let's see. If I'll hit the magic key on the cash register, you want to – oh, we do need to tell everybody, hey, come and join us next month. The newsletter will be out first of April.
That is on April 18th.
April 18th.
Which, of course, is the midnight ride of Paul Revere.
Was it?
Yes. Listen, my children, and you shall hear the midnight ride of Paul Revere.
All right, we'll discuss this in our next personal call.
All righty, my friend.
There's our noise.
Very good.
So we thank everybody for having me with us. Shauna Shue, thanks for joining us from Oregon. My friend, my buddy, my best pal there. Bill Kendi, thanks for having joined me from your home in Michigan tonight. We all appreciate everybody being there. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next month.